Hey everybody, John Malanke here. Just had another incredible podcast, and I know I say that all the time, but I really mean that with all my guests that I do have on here. Ilana Frankel, she's out of New York. She is the editor in chief of Women and Weed magazine. It's a biannual magazine, but she wasn't always into cannabis. Cannabis wasn't her lifestyle, like many like us, as well as many of our guests that have come on. She had a fall about 6 years ago, and she was at a restaurant with her girlfriends. Slipped, had a fall. And it was a traumatic brain injury. They said 1 year, maybe even 3 years of becoming, getting back to full use of her brain. But determination, not only from her children and her family, but her husband said, I'd like you to try cannabis. And she was hands up saying, come on, that's the last thing I want to try. But they tried the power of cannabis, and the outcome has been fantastic. So I hope you enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. If you have questions, hit them in the comment section. If you have any topics you want us to cover, let us know. And if you haven't subscribed yet, I'd love to have you subscribe to our channel. We'll see you soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Hey everybody, John Malanke with United Patients Group. Be informed and be well. This segment is brought to you by Aspen Green. Aspen Green is just a handful of USDA certified organic hemp and CBD brands, and all of its hemp is grown from the perfect topography and climate found in Colorado. Check out why purity matters at aspengreen.com and follow them on social channels at Aspen Green CBD. Use promo code UPGCBD for 20% off. Welcome back, everybody. This is John Malanke, United Patients Group. Be informed and be well. And I have an old friend, and I laugh, but it's Ilana Frankel. Hey, Ilana, how are you doing?
Good. How are you? It's so great to see you again.
Good to see you as well. And so a little background, Ilana. She's the founding editor-in-chief of Women and Weed, and it's a biannual magazine that focuses on the power of personal narratives to bring a better understanding to the complex cannabis issues, which I see in my grocery store. I'm certain everyone will see it in theirs as well. And so it's always good to see that up there. She's also the co-founder of Indigo and Haze, a plant-based CBD marketplace for health, wellness, as well as living that provides access and education and as well as inspiration. She's a yoga teacher as well as a meditation mentor. She is a frequent public speaker on cannabis and wellness and consults regularly with companies who value creative thinking. Way to go. Ilana's previous work as a creative director, editor, and writer has appeared in Wall Street Journal's Off Duty, The New York Times, and The New York Times Magazine, One Kings Lane, Architectural Digest, Martha Stewart Living, among others. And good to have you on there. And at the beginning, I called her a different last name because I've interviewed a couple of Ilanas, and that's what I was chuckling. So you probably won't see me mess up her name, but Ilana Frankel, good to see you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Considering it's the end of 2020, I am doing really well. Way to go. Bye-bye.
Last year at this exact time, I grew up overseas, and the school I went to, we had a reunion. It was 100 year that our school had been a school. Let me do my calculation. 1920 to 2020. Is that right? And we had about 1700 alumni that showed up from class of 1950 to class of 2020. I think the 1700 included wives and partners and stuff like that as well. But people from all over the world showed up. But right now is when I booked my ticket. And just thinking, what has happened in a year, you know? But went over there, and in January, and everyone was talking about this China virus while we were there in January. And then coming back, you know, I shared with a lot of friends over here, I'm like, there's some stuff happening. And look at this, a year later, we're in the midst of all this too. So hope you and your family are healthy and everyone else is watching as well. And so you haven't always been in the cannabis industry, and I, your story, many have a story that brought them into the industry, and yours was kind of scary. Can you share that? It was just an evening.
Yeah.
You went out one night.
Of course. It was a definite, moment, you know, they always say, like, you know, the universe has to hit you over the head really hard to be heard. And it did. And while I haven't been in the industry above ground for many years, I have been underground for a long time. But what brought me above ground and more into the full-time realm is I was about 6-7 years ago, I was out with some girlfriends at a restaurant in Miami. We had ordered appetizers. I stood up and said, you know what, I'm not feeling too well. I'm just going to use the ladies' room. And next thing I knew, I opened my eyes, I was having a CAT scan. I had either, no one's really sure what happened, but somehow on my way to the ladies' room, I fell. Whether I had a seizure, fainted, then had a seizure. I fell, I hit my head, I fell back, I hit my head, fractured my skull about 4.5 inches. It was such a hard impact, it thrusted my head forward. I bruised the frontal part of my brain. I had 2 huge black eyes. And when I woke up having a CAT scan in the hospital, I was presenting as a stroke victim. I couldn't speak. My language was garbled. I couldn't move. My brain was constantly short-circuiting. I had no sense of where I was, who I was, how to even move. I did have the wherewithal, though, somehow, to stay still because I saw, I felt, knew I was in some sort of contraption. And then once I came out and was put into a room, I just sort of lost all ability to function and was just, like I said, presenting as a stroke victim. It ended up my mom had to fly down. I have a husband, and I, at the time, there were 2 small kids. My husband stayed with the children in New York. My mom came down and she really started to advocate for me to figure out what was going on because I was unable. I just couldn't understand what was going on around me. And anytime I did understand, I just couldn't communicate. The words weren't coming out. Like I said, my brain was short circuiting. And I was also in a lot of pain. I fell and really hurt myself, particularly my coccyx, my back. And eventually, after about a week of being in the hospital in Florida, they allowed me to fly back to New York, which was another story.
Yeah.
To fly in an airplane with a, it was then, I was diagnosed with a traumatic brain injury, a TBI. So to fly with a TBI is another story. Also another story, while I was in the hospital, when I first got out of the CAT scan, they didn't have a private room for me. So I had to share a room for a little bit with a gentleman in his 60s who had Tourette's. So you can only imagine somebody who is suffering from a traumatic brain injury and has no sense of anything. There's a man about, you know, 6-7 feet away cursing up a storm. I mean, it's funny now, but at the time I did sort of try to communicate that I needed some sort of drug to shut this out. But I finally got back to New York. And once you get to New York, everybody's got a doctor you need, you know, you definitely have to go see. You know, this one's, you know, best friend's nephew went to Stanford, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, wherever they went. They all had very fancy offices with big diplomas on their walls, but they all pretty much said the same thing. You have a traumatic brain injury and we recommend brain and bed rest, which is laying in bed, a dark room, no outside stimuli. And once the swelling comes down, then we can assess what the damage is. And I remember my husband asking, how long is that going to take? And one doctor said it could take up to 1 year. Another said it could take 3 years. That's when it really hit me and my family pretty hard that this was a serious injury and that it was going to be a long haul. There was going to be a long recovery process. And of course, being the type A New Yorker that I am, I'm like, okay, I can beat this in 6 weeks. Like I'll just lay down and rest, sleep, you know, I'll have breakfast in bed a couple, you know, and then I'll just be fine. Well, 3 days into this bed rest in this dark room without any stimuli and without any noise, because anything would set me off. So if somebody was talking with me and then someone came in the room and started either moving or talking with me coming from the side, I would just freak out. My brain would just shut down and I just couldn't focus, communicate. I just, like I said, I just shut down. So we realized pretty quickly after a couple of days that we were in for a long haul. And we also realized we needed an alternative. I couldn't do this.
This was serious, like you said.
This was serious, and I wasn't going to be able to do this for a year, almost 3 years. Like, just, you know, I'm.
How old are you? I mean, I knew your mom as well, but how old were you? Were your kids then?
My kids at the time were 4 and 6.
And how long ago? It was about 8, 10 years
seven
ago.
7 years ago. 7 years.
6 years ago. Yeah.
Yes, 7 years ago. So, you know, it was really apparent to me that we needed to find something, but I was in no position to figure out what that is. So my husband, who is an incredible human being, came back a couple of days later and said, listen, I've been doing some research online and I think I found us an alternative. And at that point, I was open to anything. You know, I have practiced yoga meditation. I have an acupuncturist, Reiki. So I was like, yeah, acupuncture, Reiki, yoga, all of these things. Sure. He's like, no. He's like, don't freak out, but I think we're going to try cannabis. And I remember at that moment, because, you know, having been underground for so long, my cousin is a cultivator in Oregon and has been for 30 years. My other cousin is an investor. You know, knowing what I know or what I thought I knew about cannabis, I immediately was like, no, you know, I'm not doing any THC. I'm already in a brain fog. Like, no. And I remember putting my hands up. And he said, you know, no, it's not THC, it's CBD. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And this was 7 years ago. And, you know, the idea of it now is so comical. But at the time, you know, I was like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, okay. And he took some time to explain to me what it was. And he, based on, you know, my husband knows me really well, he'd done all this research online, all this clinical research that he had found, and a paper from Israel and all the research that was being done with PTSD and soldiers and head injuries. And he knew that if there was that clinical research, that I would listen. And so he started talking with me, he started explaining to me, and I get more and more comfortable with it. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let's try it. Like, at that point, I just was like, we got to try something because I can't live like this. And so it's one thing to sort of open up your heart to cannabis and CBD. And then there's quite another when you say yes and the crickets start chirping because you're in a prohibition state and, you know, it's 7 years ago and nobody knows what CBD is. So there was a couple of days we were like, now what? But we put out the word to friends and family, especially on the West Coast. And they heeded the call and we were able to get a whole bunch of different types of products, everything from topicals and tinctures to vape pens and edibles. And we were very grateful and thankful, but it all came unmarked and no dosage information. I didn't know if hemp derived. I didn't know if it was marijuana derived. I didn't know any ratios. I didn't know if they were giving me an indica sativa hybrid. I didn't know terpenes, nothing. It was just a blank slate. And so I started to do what I, you know, tell people to do now, which everybody tells people to do now is, you know, start low and slow and titrate up to your optimal dose. And I just trial and error tested out really, really tiny bits, small amounts of certain things, figured out what it felt like, how it made me feel, and either did more or less or none at all. And then it started to work. It started to change how I felt. The swelling was going down. The doctors were kind of like, what are you doing? and at that time I wasn't ready to tell anybody what I was doing because it sounded a little strange, healing myself through cannabis. But eventually I found the right protocol for myself and I found the right therapeutics and I found the right way to ingest. And I felt a lot better. And within 3 months, I started getting up. I started walking. I started going to work 1 day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week. And eventually, within 6 months, I was back at work. And it was great. And it was an amazing feeling. And again, you know, people were amazed and they asked me lots of questions and I wasn't really ready to say anything yet, but I was like, oh, you know, I'm doing alternative stuff, you know, oh, I'm lucky, whatever. But eventually I quit my job and turned to my husband and said, hey, I want to start a cannabis business.
Here we are.
Here I am.
You know, I think hearing your story, and that's why I didn't want to interrupt anything you were saying, sounded very similar to ours. You know, we're trial and error. you know, and we didn't have any air. And it sounds the same thing with you. It was the blind leading the blind. What do we do? What, you know, back, you know, six years ago for you, 10, 11 for us, California, there was no labeling. It's a night and day difference from 6 years to the present and 10, 11 years to the present. There was no guidance. There was no, you know, United Pace Group or Lana Frankel, you know, sharing our success of what formulations and ratios. So what did you find success with? I know you said I was going to ask you, and then you went into the story of all the products that were sent that. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but you had topicals, you had vaporization, you had tinctures. Where did you end up going, and you tried them all?
Yep. I started out with topicals because that was the, at the time, the sort of least scariest thing for me.
Yes, safest.
The most pressing issue at that time was my coccyx. I had fallen on my coccyx and I thought I cracked it or broke it. I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And so that was my sort of first priority if I wanted to actually stand up and walk around. And topicals felt appropriate. It started to work. It was helpful. The formulation with THC was a little bit more helpful than just the straight over hemp derived.
Yeah.
But I ended up working also with vaporization at that point. And that sort of helped. So the topical was more CBD oriented and the vaporization was the THC. Weirdly though, not very quickly, but soon thereafter, whether I built up a tolerance or whether my body changes as, you know, ages and stages, you know, women's bodies are different than men's, all of those things. It sort of started to change. And so I tried tincture and I had really never been not a fan, but tincture wasn't part. It was inhalation and vaporization for me always. And so I tried the tincture and I noticed immediately a lot of relief. That was a big moment for me, was tincture.
And when you said relief in your pain or relief in your mindset, what were you finding?
Both. So during the day, I really focused on a 1-to-1 or even a 1-to-20.
Yeah.
In New York, it's opposite, but the low THC, high CBD. Yeah.
So we go before you move on to that, and I was going to ask you then, but you said New York's opposite. So what is your 1 and what is your 20?
Yeah. So let me tell you something. I found that off the hard way. That was my really error.
Make sure you know what that first number is.
So in New York, the THC
1-20, and you know what? When we were introduced, when we were kind of adopted in this industry, when we were looking for stuff for Corinne's father back, you know, 10, 11 years ago, all the ratios were, say, we used 4-to-1 ratio. It was 4 parts THC, 1 part CBD.
Yeah.
And then that switched. And I've spoken to a lot of scientists, a lot of pharmacists, and they're like, you know, I wish it was the other way around, 4 parts THC. So I'm glad you throw that through the morning out, because that can be a very uncomfortable feeling. Mixing that up. So always know what that number was for our audience that's out there right now. Always know what that number, the first number is. So anyway, go on. Sorry.
Yeah. So I really started to focus on tincture and so during the day it was a higher CBD ratio. Sometimes there was no THC during the day, but then at night to sleep, it was a higher THC level for me that really worked. And it was tinctures because it lasted longer. I've never, you know, any sort of ingestible, that's why I was so nervous about tinctures, is because I've never really done well with any sort of ingestion edibles. I don't find mixing sugar with any sort of cannabis product works for me. It actually doesn't work at all. It makes me feel really just not good. So that was a concern. So that's why the tincture, I was a little nervous, but the tincture worked. And what really also helped was tea. So any sort of infused tea, because I think I had that you know, I'm a tea drinker, and the warmth and the ritual of making tea and the relaxation of tea, that really helped as well. And so I started finding that what worked at what time of day, and what would help me sleep and what would keep me focused, and what would alleviate some of the pain and what would bring me relief from the inflammation. Because that was the one thing too, like I could feel the inflammation in my brain. I could feel it against my skull, and I could also, start to feel it diminish. And so I was really able to keep track of that, which I thought was also very helpful in a journal, so that I could understand what was happening when, so I could either repeat it or change it.
So again, trial and error, you know, what works for you. And so for all of our listeners that are watching it or listening this, you know, it's not a one size fits all. What works for us may not work for you. And so trying to find that balance.
And I think that's hard for people to understand with plant therapeutics. I think that's very challenging, because we're used to, you know, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. And that's a very consistent experience. That for not everybody, for majority of people, that when you start to talk about plant-based therapeutics, that it is a little bit different in how your body reacts to it, and why it reacts to it. And so that level of understanding, while a doctor can, because I've spoken to tons of doctors, those are pro, those who are not so pro cannabis, but all of them really say the same thing, is like, I can give you guidance, I can give you advice, this is what I suggest, but you really have to be in tune with your body and understand what is happening, so that I could tell them what was working best for me. And then they could talk about adjustment from that point of view. And that patient-centric point of view for plants is an amazing paradigm shift, and it's empowering and it's wonderful, but it is a little different and scary at first.
Yeah. You know, I always look at it like throwing the pebble in the pond, and with the ripple effects of, you know, the education out there and you sharing what's going on. So are you working, you're in New York right now, and are 6 years ago, were you working with a neurologist? And I know you said they did, how often did they have to do brain scans showing that the shrinking?
Yeah. So I went for 2 brain scans. And after that, I just sort of was like, you know what, I'm done. Like what it was showing me was that the brain was healing, and that's all I needed to hear. I didn't need to continue to go, because to be honest with you, the neurologists were just sort of maintenance. They weren't telling me anything or giving me direction or guidance. And so I needed to find health practitioners and partners that I could work with that were pro cannabis and having my back in terms of integrating cannabis into this healing experience. And so once I was connected with that sort of tribe, that group, that's where I focused my energies on.
There's some good cannabis neurologists down in Florida. If you're,
there are. That's good to know. I mean, there are not. I mean, I should.
And actually, he's a dear friend, and not to take the spotlight away from you here.
No, it's fine. It's good. But, I love to hear this.
But he's from New York, Dr. Daniel Stein. Yes. Great guys in Sarasota. For our podcast listeners, you've probably seen me. We've done a few brain master classes, but there's a podcast in here, probably about 6 months ago that Dr. Stein and I did. But he's great, and I don't know. I mean, I'm glad you're back to normal.
It's an amazing thing. I mean, I never thought I could get to this point, to be honest with you. Yeah. There were times when I was like, okay, this is it. But you know, there's still definitely some lingering effects that haven't been, fixed. And I still work with those on a daily basis. I lost my sense of smell and taste. Mm. I think because of the bruising in the front part of my brain.
Yeah.
The taste has come back somewhat, not fully, but enough, but smell is still completely elusive.
Sounds like the symptoms of COVID, not to make a joke.
I know. When everybody started talking about lack of smell and taste, I was like, oh yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I tested positive for COVID about 6 weeks ago, and everyone's like, oh, you know, what happened? How did you know? I was asymptomatic. And I was like, I have no idea. They're like, well, did you lose smell and taste? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I was just asymptomatic.
Has that come back, or that you still don't have the smell and taste?
I have no smell. Taste has come back, not fully, but enough, like a lot that I can feel good about eating again. But it's strange because I always thought smell would come back first. Smell is still a blank state. It's just This is blank. This is weird. It's just a weird way to live because you don't really think about smell until someone's like, oh God, that smells so good. Or, ooh, that smells so bad. Then you're like, oh, I can't smell that. But on a daily basis, you know, walking around in life, you know, just don't really think about it too much.
So with you being, you know, your bio, I mean, you speak my language, you know, I'm big into health and wellness, but, yoga, acupuncture, meditation. I've done a couple of silent retreats and big fan of those. Acupuncture and chiropractic is, you can't, have you gone that route to see if you get the smell back?
Since COVID, you know, acupuncture hasn't been high on my list, unfortunately.
Not too many things have been, huh?
I know. So I'm waiting to get back into that. But, you know, I think what I'm actually waiting for is CBD tipped acupuncture needles. That's what I'm waiting for, because I think that's going
to
help.
How do you do it? I was talking to a pharmacist recently, and he was talking about a woman who would made CBD toothpaste, and I guess Johnson & Johnson or Crest or something.
Oh, they've done it. Well, they haven't done it. They've done it. They say it's hemp oil. They say hemp oil.
Yeah.
And they have a little leaf on it. But it's only a matter of time. I mean, I think everybody's going to be, you know, doing it.
I think they're going to have CBD toilet paper. You know, they're coming out with everything. And so you do a lot in Indigo and Haze with that as well. And so what are some products you see out there? What are you seeing out there?
Right. So when I first started the business, it was really focused on the three things that you mentioned. It was access, education, inspiration. It was access to a really good product, because I didn't want anyone to have to go through what I went through in terms of, you know, what am I doing? If I Google the word CBD, what, you know, oh my God, you know, what comes up? So really it was about curating a very small group of product that I knew from soil to shelf. I knew how it was grown, where it was grown, who was growing it, how it was extracted, how it was formulated, how it got to the shelves, making sure that it was tested, lab tested, and that everyone had their, you know, COAs. And so I took all of the guesswork out. And so what I really wanted to focus on was just a small suite of products. It didn't have to be an extensive group of, you know, this big e-commerce site, because I don't believe you need that much, to be honest with you. And so that was the initial focus, but there were some things that I didn't see on the market that I wanted. I wanted an everyday body lotion. There was a lot of pain salves. And so we created a everyday body lotion, 200 milligrams of CBD, broad spectrum. And then we partnered with a tincture company. We partnered with a vape company. So, you know, that sort of e-commerce experience was happening. I started the magazine and then it eventually became a book to focus on education so that people really could understand not only about the plant, its history, its incredible racist history, but also understanding who was working in the industry now and what they were doing, so that women especially could feel that if they worked in industry A and they had these skills, it is transferable to the cannabis industry. And so that there were opportunities, and there was there were moments that they, you know, women could see themselves working in the industry, and it didn't have to be behind a counter in a dispensary, and it didn't have to be on a farm. There was a lot of, you know, happening in between, particularly in manufacturing and distribution. And so with the access happening, with the education happening, inspiration started to happen with imagery, design, making sure that people understood that this was an industry that was moving in a certain direction away from any sort of, you know, stereotypical stigma visuals, away from the babes, boobs, and bongs, and much more towards health and wellness, adult use and rec as well, but hoping that it can be a little bit more focused on women and their needs in their ages and stages, and really focusing on women 45 and older. You know, it was really important for me that as women age and understand their bodies, that they would be more open to trying the plant and using the plant and working with the plant, especially as their bodies change.
That's important. I think Corinne would have been a big fan of your magazine. That's my wife who passed away. And because she was not like you, come on, you know, she'd always put her hands up, you know, especially in California, it's been legal since 1996. She just thought everyone just wants an excuse to get high, you know? And then we were thrown into this, just like you were thrown into this with her father. And we started seeing the benefits, saved his life, knock on wood. And then we started doing all the research and she's like, whoa, total change in my mindset. Yeah. She said, I'm, you know, hitting my 50s. Maybe I should do this. If I'm proud, you know, let me practice what I preach. And so she was taking tinctures and she was someone, I called her Mary Poppins, didn't drink, didn't smoke, you know? And, I mean, I literally left that in our wedding vows, you know, and you're my Mary Poppins, but, you know, but she just thought, gosh, if we're putting on conferences like we were doing, we had, you know, speakers from all over the world that would come in. Our conferences had CME, you know, continuing medical education credits. And then we're learning all this. Why not? I should be doing this myself. So she would take it for health and wellness, you know, inflammation, which is a start of many disease in the body.
Chronic pain for sure.
What's that? Sorry.
Chronic pain, inflammation, anxiety, stress, sleep issues. Sleep,
I mean, all that. And so, you know, so what you're doing, I applaud you because, you know, education is huge and I can't tell you.
And that's a great sort of segue because I sort of have come back to that education part in the business plan. And now I've partnered with a medicalcannabismentor.com and working with them to develop and get these educational and training videos out into the marketplace, particularly into the hands of dispensaries for onboarding people, for pharmacists, for healthcare practitioners, CME credits for doctors, nurse practitioners, and making sure that the education, you know, education before medication is there so that people really have the necessary background, the foundation and the tools to then build on their own research. But that they, because there's a lot to learn and unlearn, quite frankly.
Totally. And I learn every day and I unlearn every day. I mean, I still learn every day. And so I'm a big fan of a couple of things you shared earlier from the seed to sale. I do this soil seed to sale because I like them to check the soil to see before they start planting anything, what's going on, and then do that. And then education, what'd you say? I love that term.
Education before medication.
Education before medication. And we would, and that's the one thing that's frustrating about the dispensaries. There's some great dispensaries. And I've actually taken pharmacists here in the San Francisco Bay Area on a tour of the good, the bad, the ugly here in the San Francisco Bay Area of good ones to bad ones. And the education in there is all over the place. I've been in, I was down in Southern California before COVID with some friends and their daughter is autistic. And we were looking for THCA. And so we went in there and asked the dispensary worker about THCA. Never heard of it, don't carry it. I'm like, turn around, it's right behind you. You know, and I just think if you are gonna dispense, and it's medicine to a lot of people. I mean, it's medicine. And I just think if you're gonna be in that, education is huge at all levels.
I mean, I think people are also forgetting that a dispensary is also about customer service. And that customer relation is translated into patient service and patient relation. And as you said, this is medicine to a lot of people. And so when you're having those conversations with your dispensary worker associate, like they need to understand that's where this is coming from, this conversation is coming from. And that's part of the educational process with these videos is really understanding customer-patient relations so that you can have an informed conversation and the person can feel heard. And if you can't answer the question, find someone who can. or stop and say, oh, you know what? This is something I don't know. Let me just take a minute to research or figure it out. Because that's when we start to see the industry mature and change from, illegal to legal. Yeah. And quite frankly, essential.
It is. And that's, you've made a great point, because I've had a lot of patients over the years that they say, God, I've gone into a dispensary. I feel rushed, like, move it. I have people behind you. And customer service, it doesn't matter if you're in the restaurant industry, the garbage industry. I mean, customer service is either in your blood or it's not in your blood. And I just think, you know, put yourself in the position going in and wanting to learn. And if the dispensary worker does not know the answer, ask for the manager. I mean, a lot of times the manager will come out and say, no, let's take you aside and we'll walk you through exactly what all of our products, how they're listed, what they could be beneficial for, and so on. So, well, that's great. I think that's a total niche in this industry. And, starting from your story, boy, that must have scared the heck out of your girlfriends, one, and your husband, who was up in New York.
Well, my husband was definitely, it was a challenging time for him, for sure. My girlfriends were, one of them was a rock and was really went into like emergency mode. And the other just was like stymied, what do I do?
Yeah.
And now, after a day or two in the hospital, she came around and she started like figuring it out. And now we can laugh about it. But we definitely all had, they definitely all had their different experiences. And my children too, my children were very aware of what was going on. We could do a whole other segment about how to talk to your children about cannabis, but the idea of their mother being ill and bedridden and really, really incapacitated, to seeing her up around and being a mom again, to them, they didn't care if it was cannabis, they didn't care if it was CBD, they didn't care if it was THC. They just knew that whatever mom was doing, she went from, unwell to wellness. And I think and when you talk to them now, that's what they remember. That's what they see. And that's what they understand. Now they know what CBD is. They know THC, they know cannabis, they know the plant. But at the time, they just saw their mom one way and then the other way.
What was the, I know the doctor originally said it could be a year, it could be 3 years. And you said, I'm going to do this in 3 weeks. What was the timeline?
So I was able to stand up and walk and be a part of society again after about 3 months. And then I was back at work 5 months, maybe a little bit like 6 months into it. And I really was able to, I still needed help. I couldn't drive. So I would take taxis. I was working in New York City.
You're a New Yorker. You don't need to drive.
So yeah, so I was taking taxis. I was on the subway. I was okay with. The subway I needed help with. I needed someone to be with me on the subway because there's a lot going on. My biggest sort of fear too was PTSD, because, every time and still to this day, sometimes when I'm walking down the stairs in the subway, I can see I'm gripping the handrail because I'm afraid I'm going to fall. And I have, the vision of me hitting my head constantly. Yeah. So there was a little bit of that happening for a while. I've gotten a lot better, but there's still times, like I said, when I'm walking and I just have a vision of falling and hitting my head. Yeah.
PTSD, I think about 6 months ago, I was leaving my dentist one in the afternoon. And I was at it's in a residential area, and I was at a stop sign, 25 miles per hour. And I look in my rearview mirror, and this guy nails me.
Oh.
One in the afternoon, and thank goodness we weren't on the freeway. Thank goodness he wasn't. I mean, he must have been going, 25, 30 miles per hour. But, driving home, I was totally, PTSD of watching cars on the freeway, getting off the on-ramp. Are they going to see me? Are they going to stop? You know, it definitely sticks in your mind. What was the reason? What happened? I know you were started talking about it. They thought seizure, and then you went into waking up.
That's still a mystery to a lot of people. So at first I was put on anti-seizure medication. I do have epilepsy in the family, so they immediately went to the seizure, but they quickly kind of ruled it out after a bunch of tests. And then there was a conversation about I had fainted, dehydration, stress, maybe a virus from the plane, just like the perfect storm. And that after I hit my head falling back, I actually had a seizure. Ooh. And then thrusted forward. But to be honest with you, nobody has really given me a straight answer, and nobody can really tell me what happened. I went to a cardiologist who told me I had a slightly irregular heartbeat and that I might've stood up so fast. And, so there's many different things. My guess is it was a perfect storm. There was a lot of things that happened at the same time at that exact moment. But to be honest with you, like nothing has happened since, knock on wood. And so I wasn't so concerned about how it happened. I was just more concerned about getting to this point where I could, live my life. Yeah. And like I said, PTSD, like I don't know what triggers it, but I definitely still have some of that. My sound, smell and taste. And I did develop vertigo about 6 months ago. I've had 2 bouts of vertigo. It's in check now. Some doctors say that might've been part of the head injury. Some doctors like it has nothing to do with it. So
who knows, huh?
It's a mystery.
I know there's, how many cannabinoids, I mean, you're in the business too. And I always say there's about 140 and more being introduced each and every day. Are you using any other cannabinoids? Because I know with a lot of traumatic brain injury, they use THCA. Are you using any of the acid forms?
I'm not yet. I am really in a good place. So good. I'm not ready to make any major changes. Yeah, what I have been playing with more is the terpenes. Mm-hmm. And that for me has been
you can't smell those either.
I know, but yeah. I do read. So I do know what's in it. So that's been a little bit more helpful for me than that's not true. I tried CBG for a little bit. I didn't notice any changes. I didn't notice any, wasn't made it worse or better. It just, wasn't there yet. I didn't play around too much with dosage and it was in a tincture. So, I think eventually, yes. I mean, if my health stays as is, I'm not willing to change it right yet. But, I'm always open.
And do you still go to your doctors? I know you're working with some doctors now.
Oh my God. So first of all, the neurologist I was seeing died. No, I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. So he passed away about a few years ago. I know. And so
I think you've upset the Tourette's industry and doctors passing. So keep going. We're on getting ready on strike 2 or strike 3 now.
I'm working mostly with alternative integrative health practitioners and doctors, more so than neurologists at this point. I feel much more comfortable.
Yeah.
Somebody who has a much more holistic approach and understands the body, the brain, the mind, the spirit from a holistic point of view, as opposed to just a narrow vision. And that's been really helpful. So I made some switches in that arena.
Is there, sorry to hear about your doctor first off, but I have other friends that are heavy cannabis users and have been, they're in the industry and this one friend of mine, he had a fall off a railing where the railing wasn't there, and he was at a wedding. He was chasing his little nephew, and he went down, hit the ground, and they thought, oh my goodness, it was in the dark, and they rushed. It was in Montana, and they rushed to the doctor's hospital there. He's back to normal, but his doctor then said, if you weren't a cannabis user, I guess. You wouldn't have had the success. And so I'm not advising everyone to go out and smoke as much cannabis as he was or is. But it's amazing on when you really get down to it, on all the benefits that this plant offers.
Well, the neuroprotection, I mean, the neuroprotection is there. And, you know, I say that to people all the time, you know, it's not one and done, you know, especially with CBD, that buildup in the body is really important. And it's really, for a lot of people, sounds like your friend is one of them, a preventative measure.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it's not, that level of use is not for everybody. So you really have to know what's right for you and your body. But I am a big fan of understanding it in that way as well, preventative as well as relief.
What can you share, you know, closing stuff? I want to let you plug Women in Weed when the next publication is coming out. Why don't we go there? When's the next publication going
out? So, you know, with COVID, we've been incredibly, you know, it's been topsy-turvy and our distribution is all crazy. So I have no idea, to be honest with you, when that's happening, and which is why the pivot to all of this incredible video content is happening. Sure. We're still very much focused on women. We're very focused on weed, but we're really trying to create content that can be scaled and really help the industry and the community in a way that is based in education and based on communicating that education to others.
Gotcha.
It was really important for me to focus the content in that way.
So is this also under the Women in Weed publication umbrella?
It's a partnership. Yeah. So it's really more of an Indigo and Haze partnership than the Women in Weed. You know, I think too that the distribution of it, the magazine, it was great. Yeah. I wanted it to be print only. I didn't want it to be digital. Yeah. I wanted you to be able to find it in grocery stores, bodegas, pharmacies, places where, you know, you wouldn't normally see it, or content like that. But as COVID has shut everything down, those distribution channels have been very limited, and I'd rather not do it half-assed, to be honest with you. I'd rather be able to do really high quality content, educational content, that is really focused on the science and is really focused on the history of the plant and understanding the plant. So now, once you are ready to go into the industry, whatever level you're at, if you're working in a dispensary, if you're working on a farm, if you're working for a formulator, if you're working for an extractor, PR, whatever it is, that you have the foundational knowledge to go in there, knowing what you know about the plant and its history and the people, that to me is the next step, is the next level.
I remember when I interviewed you, probably, I want to say in June, maybe, so 6 months ago. And then I went into my local grocery store and saw your magazine. And I took a picture with my COVID mask on holding up. And I was looking for my phone. My phone's not here. I'd pull that picture up. It's a great, great picture.
It is. It's amazing. And I love getting those photos. And I love getting them, you know, I love getting them from Florida. I love getting them from Montana. I love getting them from Michigan. I love getting them from California, from Oregon, from North Dakota, Missouri. It's been an incredible and humbling experience to see it all over the country. And that was important for me because the industry is now legalizing so fast in all different states and hopefully on the federal level. That it's important for everybody to know what's going on.
That, and again, bringing the stigma down. And as mentioned earlier with the pebble in the pond, the ripple effect of you sharing your story with someone, God forbid, falls and hits their head as well. And, you know, and may look into this. And so I hope everyone has a husband like you.
Call me. I'm open. Yeah. You can email me. If anybody has a traumatic brain injury, if anybody has any questions, please. I wish I had me when I was going through this. So now I want to be the me that I always wished I had. So
that's why we're here.
Find me. I'm more than happy to talk, more than happy to connect you with the right doctors, with the right health practitioners, nurses, whatever you need.
And so how do they find you?
Oh, easy. So Elana, E-L-A-N-A at indigoandhaze.com.
And what's your last name again?
Frankel, but don't say Elana Frankel at Indigo and Haze. It's Elana at indigoandhaze.com.
Exactly.
I'm more than happy to answer any questions, or if I can't, put you in touch with someone who can.
You know what? I appreciate that. And that's what I love. I wanted to get you back on. We have a lot in common. And hearing you speak, I'm thinking that's exactly, you know, my mindset and a lot of things you're talking about. So, but well, I thank you. I appreciate you coming on, and your husband. Give a special hug to your husband as well for.
I got no problem doing that. I do it every day, multiple times a day. I thank him.
I was a hell of a husband too. So I applaud him. I applaud him. And as you know, life can change in a bloody instant. So I'm happy that you've had a great outcome, and I appreciate you sharing your story. And if anybody else is going through something like this, we both send you our blessings and love as well. But Ilana Frankel, thank you so much. And we'll see you soon. I know that. And for our listeners and followers, we'll see you again, and hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I did and we did. So John Milanka, United Patients Group, be informed, be well, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, John Milanka with United Patients Group, be informed and be well. This segment is brought to you by Aspen Green. Aspen Green is just a handful of USDA, that's right, USDA certified organic hemp and CBD brands, and all of its hemp is grown from the perfect topography and climate found in Colorado. It is a family-owned business and is deeply committed to the science of providing only the purest hemp and CBD products for the best results and most beneficial experience. Its mission is to bring the therapeutic value of pure, organic hemp and CBD to people who seek supplemental relief through the use of healthy, natural products. Aspen Green is free from toxins and runs up to 8 different lab tests from bona fide third-party labs throughout its product line. It holds in high regard 3 foundational principles that guide every aspect of their business, actions, and interactions with their customers, partners, as well as their community. These are quality, integrity, and transparency. These will always remain at the hearts of their efforts to bring their beneficial products to consumers. Check out why purity matters at aspengreen.com and follow them on social channels at aspengreencbd. Use promo code UPGCBD for 20% off. Again, UPGCBD for 20% off at aspengreen.com.